The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Barroom, we saw you standing on the corner. Barroom, you were standing by the barroom. Barroom.
Don't even matter what words you sing, man. It's just terrific.
I'm glad you liked it, because I love to sing, man. You know, I made a lot of records, and I just ain't never...
I get them all, man.
You got them all?
I get them all.
That's great,
Hobby. Me and one other guy.
Flame of the spirit runs high, who are, as you say, all fire and radiance. They're the extraordinary expression of human life, like the five-leaf clover in nature. Most of us are just folks.
Yes, I know that. I know that. That's true, Ben. And yet, we don't get very far nourishing that idea. This is something I'm always against, if I may say so, to regard people as just folks. It's nice and folksy to talk that way, you know, and it means let's be warm and let's be sympathetic and all that. True enough, but do you know that sometimes, and I think even very saintly men have the desire and they act on it too. They goad people. They have to give them a nudge. They have to give them a poke. They have to jab them to awaken them, you see. How they do that out of kindness. And they do that to make them aware of themselves, of their potentialities. There is nothing mean about or contemptuous in it, you see. But it's only to make everyone realize what he is potentially capable of. Most of us are living far below our potential, you see. And when we say just folks, we mean that, I think. All those people who are living below the horizon line, you might say, who haven't come up. They're there like a soft cushion on which we're all comfortably floating, do you see? It's true. Folks, the people are what supports us, do you know? The people who do the dirty work, who are, again, without name, without honor, and so on. It's they who are doing the work of the world. But even they could do other work, could do bigger work, you see. I don't think what is called the work of the world, this everyday work, you see, that gets glorified, I don't think it's really so important. I think it would be much, much better if people were told to be lazy, to shirk the job, to be idlers, to enjoy, to relax, do you see? Not care, not worry. I think we'd get all that work done in some other way.
Well, Henry, you said dirty work, and I think you mean daily work.
It's both. In a way, it's the two, you know. They are one and the same, pretty much. Daily work and dirty work.
Fine. Well, if it's dirty work equals daily work, and if tomorrow is another day...
Yes.
And if you're talking about people who will float in self-contemplation or in self-expression, who is going to do the daily work, or doesn't the daily work need to be done?
Well, that's a very, very interesting, profound question. You see, Jesus said, you know, look at the lilies in the field. They neither toil nor spin. And the thought behind it is that we are creating this work not because it has to be done, but because we are busybodies and do not know how to swim on the river of life. And we prefer a kind of senseless insect activity to a genuine activity, which may often be no activity, inaction. Do you see? I don't say to be quiet, to do nothing. I don't say that at all. But I say it should have sense, it should have meaning, what we do. Do you see? And the greater part of what we do every day has damn little meaning.
You need the third man. He is here, the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting. You and me, you and I together. Onto your seats, fall off of them if you need to. Sit on them hardly, sit on the edge, do whatever you need to do. I'm Frank Atola, the man's name, adorns the title of the show. We're going to chronicle the hell out of this show. We're going to chronicle the hell out of it. You'll see. Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. My name is Frank Atola, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, not the program, the show. Here it is now. I think this is our first summer show, because when did the summer, I was going to do my Sean Connery. When did summer start? Was it the 23rd, 21st? Because we were on the 22nd. Doesn't matter. It's right now. And right now, very little you do has any meaning. But if you're listening to this show, any part of it, I appreciate it that you're taking time out of your life to do that. We've got lots of things to talk about. Speaking of life, speaking of doing things that, you know, I always enjoy finding a new clip of Henry Miller, which is a clip you heard there talking about folks, what they do, who does what in life, what it means, and why do anything, you know. Striving for what? Not as a matter of, not having a motivation and stuff. But, you know, we are really pumped through our life. into pump through a life into do go. Remember that Twilight Zone thing, that one with the guy who wanted to go in his head, he's on a train, he's got a stressful life, he's got a business and a thing, and it's Willoughby, that's the name of it, Willoughby, next stop, Willoughby, this magical town in his mind, and he jumps off a train and thinks about Willoughby, because Willoughby is peaceful, and there's nothing to do there but just simple stuff, there's not a lot of stress and what have you. And we've done countless shows on caring, not caring, apathy, and understanding how to get somewhere by not caring and by apathy. A lot of these things may make sense to you, unfortunately, too late in life. I think that's what most of us find out. But anyway, we're going to talk to you about some stuff here, too. And of course, here on going down the Hallelujah Trail, talking about things around your house. It's not bad enough that everywhere you turn these days, you feel the danger, the certain danger that really started at this cultural level on 9/11. That, okay? And of course, now with every news coming at you every moment of the day, every second of the day, and not all of it good, and not of all of it good from good people, and all sorts of junk going on, constantly barraged with news. And real news that you don't know what's going on. Well, there's also dangers around you in your most comfortable area. So anyway, I'm going to talk about that based on a wonderful article in one of my favorite magazines still out there, Popular Mechanics. Ooh, did you say Popular Mechanics? I know, I've done whole shows on this thing. In the world of magazines and periodicals, printed analog periodicals, which grows thinner every day. And yet if you go to places like Bookbinders, Book Blasters, BAM, and Bing Bong Books or whatever, wherever you go, you will find magazines. There's magazine racks. There's hundreds of magazines in there that come out every month, every 2 weeks, every whatever. So there's still a lot of publications out there if you like to read analog and not, things that, open up with covers and pages. Speaking of books. Okay, you know where to get the books. I want to mention this, though, before we move on, even though this will date the show a bit. And I try not to do that. But it also is... Now, you're going to hear a tweet. Did you hear that? That sounds like a rubber sole is squeaking against linoleum on the floor. That somewhere in this studio, which doubles as my basement, which also doubles as my front door. I know it's difficult to explain this configuration of a house, but you'll hear that somewhere here is a fire detector. And apparently the fire detector goes tweet like that. See, there it goes. It does that to tell me that it needs a battery change. Okay, so I'm going to have to find it first. I'm going to have to scan the walls with my eyes. And we're doing a lot of cleaning up here now. The massive spring cleaning of 17. I was going to say, 2007? No. That is taking place. There's all sorts of changes going on here. Cleaning, writing, and arithmetic, all going on. So, I have to find it. It's somewhere on the wall somewhere. Okay. So you're going to hear that here and there. I'm sorry. Just, I don't want you to count between them. And yet it'll ignore it. It's kind of be like a mantra thing. Just like Lancaster and Manchester. Remember when everyone in the West said Manchester? And I'm going to have to let go of this thing about, new grammar and English on the news and my English. I'm going to have to let go of it because it's just out of hand and I can't fix it. All I can do is speak as well as possible and trust and suggest to people who listen to me on the air, off the air, or through the window, or on the telephone, to speak well. So anyway, that's going on there. But it is summer, and we're going to talk about things that right around you that may get you into trouble. But I want to mention this first here. I did mention it last week. Mr. Tom Savino, who is the host of Savino Veritas, and who, as you know, As you might know, I don't know, my radio partner from the beginning of my radio days, and a musical partner with me from the beginning of my musical days. Not the beginning, but maybe a little later on. I told you that he had a physical event last week. I told you that we found out he was recuperating, and he is still recuperating now, but he's fine. He has made it through the most crucial areas of this particular dilemma, and we're hoping he's going to be well and can take his medicine and do well. If you go to Twitter, at TJ Savino, at TJ Savino, you could join me. As hundreds of thousands, or literally as thousands of followers, and he has, you can be one of them, and just go there, or just write to him. At, you know, the at thing on the Twitter thing, the things, a lot of things. And right, at TJ Savino. Say get well, hope, glad you're well, that, you know, send him some things, cause he won't be back live on the radio again for a while, maybe September, which, you know, in a blink of an eye, it's September. So don't blink your eye or it'll be September and you'll have missed all of August and July because we're still heading towards July shortly. So anyway, there's that. So Mr. Savino, when he comes back, he will come back with Savino Veritas, and we will, him and I, will have an announcement about a project that we're going to do together eventually, even though we're both humongously busy. That's the wrong way to use it, right? That would be like saying, we got the big busy. I'm going to write that down. I like that. The big busy is a good name for something. Oh, gosh. I hate when I do that. I write so quickly, I forget a letter and a word. Do you ever do that? I wrote the big buy, and I meant to write the big busy, and I forgot. I wrote it so quickly, I forgot the S. But I want the S. I want the big busy. I don't want the big buy. I want the big busy. So there's that with Tom Savino. Let me tell you, also remind you about the books. You know the books. Thank you very much. For going and getting the books, go get the books. Go get more books. Get books for your friends, books for your enemies, books for anyone there. At Amazon.com, Frank Cotolo, you go find them. Blurb, B-L-U-R-B, blurb.com. The Molotov Memoirs duo, they're not twins. They're two separate entities. And there are unique and exclusive illustrations by T. Stephen Gesick, who is just, he's burning them down in his, he has exhibits of sculptures out there in the Los Angeles. Oh man, good stuff. T. Stephen Gesick, really on the move. So if you're out there in anywhere near the coast, look up T. Stephen Gesick. And go to blurb.com, the Molotov Memoirs duo is there. I know I promised you a third one, but things are going to have to wait here right now. So much on the table. So much in the oven. I don't know all those things. What do you got on your plate? I got a lot on my plate, which means I have to heat it all up and make the plate empty. I got a lot in the oven, which means cooking a bunch of stuff, right? But it all means that there's a lot of stuff going on. And people use... Well, I guess those are similes. No, they're not similes. They're not. I don't guess that at all. They're metaphors, aren't they? Are they metaphors or euphemisms? No, they're not euphemisms. Anyway, go there. Also, it's coming up to whether you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on a repeat, and you know it is because you know it's not Thursday night, then you can still do what I'm going to tell you to do. I don't tell you. It's not a demand. It's not a command. I ask you. I suggest to you to do this. At Will at Large, Food Dog Productions, wonderful series going on there. Part 4 is coming up on the 4th of July. So you can go over there and get part 4 at Will at Large, Charles Dennis's terrific YouTube series, which I would be in right now. If only I didn't live so far away from where they do it. I'm going to get them on location. Hey, come on over here. Do a whole thing. Maybe I could do that. No, I don't know what I can do. I can't do anything like that. You never know, right? And I don't try. I just like, hey, you know, you just send out the idea. That's what Henry was talking about. So much more you could do than what you do. And yet none of it matters. Doesn't that make you want to do everything you can do? Boy, I should have written that down. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, you're listening to me, Frank Atolo. There's also, well, you know everything else, don't you? You know Grandpa Barry and all the places I tell you to go on the web and what to do. Tuesday nights, again, Forethought from For Culture Magazine. I'm on there most of the time. I've been on there all the time, and it's growing in its audience. Ray Catolo, my son, is on there. The Artist D, Vanilla, remember Vanilla? She's on there sometimes, and Mac Danger sometimes, and Adam. I forgot his last name, but who remembers mine? That goes on Tuesday live, and it's also over there. You can subscribe and get it. You can, because when you do these live YouTube things, it's kind of like this. You know, I do it live. You always do it live, but what I mean is you don't record it and then play the recording. I mean, I do that sometimes within the live show, but when I play a classic, or when they do a repeat, they do a repeat. I'm not live. See, it was live. You know it. You know this stuff by now. Why am I explaining it to you? So go to YouTube for At Will At Large and for Forethought, for Forethought. That's F-O-U-R, thought. From For Culture, that's F-O-U-R, culture. Those are one word, both of those. The blogs, you know where to find those. Soon, Stacey Lane Wilson, I keep telling you, she's so busy. Talk about busy. What's on your plate? What's in the oven? What's on your list? What's in the menu? What are the contents? Any other, not euphemism. Don't say that. Anything else you want to add to that? She's busy. Busy with you know how people used to say, I don't know, maybe they didn't say this to you when you were growing up or where you are, and if you are growing up now, someone might say it to you eventually. Instead of saying none of your business, they go, none of your B.I. business. B.I. business? I remember the first time someone said that to me, I was a kid. B.I. business? It's none of my, and I didn't ask. What does that B.I. stand for? It's none of your better interest business? What does that mean? B.I. business? Or is it business? B.I.Z.Z.? Because you're spelling business. I once did this eventually when someone said it. Wait a second. I said, wait. Is it you saying B.I. business because you're not spelling out the rest of the word incorrectly, like business, B-I-Z-Z-N-U-S-S-S, or Z-Z, business? And they, so if you're misspelling it, you're not mispronouncing it, but you're telling me that it's not of my concern, none of my business. I have nothing to do with what you just said. I shouldn't ask you that. It's personal. And yet you spell it incorrectly because why? Because it's one of those sayings. None of your B.I. business. What am I B.I. business? All right, it's none of my business. All right, okay. None of my B.I. business. Is it any of my B.U. business? I just say, like, how about is it my B.A. business? What does that mean? B.A. business. It's business. B-A-Z-S-U-N-S-S-U-S. Business. None of your B.I. business. I used to like to, and I still like to do this, take phrases like that that people say and corrupt them so much that someone doesn't know what I'm talking about. And that leads to the next thing I'm going to tell you about tonight's show, aside from, or today's show, or this morning's show. If you're listening on like Tree Talk Radio on twice a day. And by the way, there's another thing. There's the other thing about the blog, okay? If you don't listen to it, listen to it. Yeah, Tree Talk Radio is great too. They have a lot of good shows. And you go there to Montreal Jewish News, and there might even be another one. I try to get them there weekly, but there's Political Pulp is one of the more fluent features on Montreal Jewish News. They just don't have a large staff, and I do a lot more for them, but hey, hear that? Ooh. Hear that? That's me. Oh, it makes really weird little, okay, that's me doing my, fanning my face. Well, that's what I'm doing. That's literally what I was doing with a bunch of papers. Fanning my face. Montreal Jewish News, Political Pulp is funny and I dare say satirical. Everything that is funny is not satirical. You know that, right? Satire is different than just plain humor. Slapstick is different kinds of humor, but this is not a humor class. It's not a comedy class. It's a comedy, all right. Could be a comedy. Comedy in itself has weird definitions. You know how I feel about definitions, don't you? So we'll talk about more of that later. But the other thing I'm going to do, and I don't know where, I just get these in my head. I get these crazy little ideas. And this show has never had, like, sections. Once in a while, I'll do a little parody or something. Like the time I did the, you know, the FM guy who used to be on FM radio, that cool guy, heavy, pretentious, the pretentiosity and all that stuff. So I used to do that, and once in a while I'll come up with like a routine or anything. But I don't do it. This is not a format. I don't do that. But I had this idea and I thought it fit, in these particular times. Let me just say this about these particular times. Oh, excuse me. He's started the show. Yes, he did. This is actually one of the topics. I'm going to do this later though. I'm going to do this like on the hour. After I do the little break where you go and get your coffee or your water or your wine or whatever it is you get when you have to replenish your precious bodily fluids, I'm going to do this right after that. So the beginning of the second hour, let's say. How about that? Let's say it together. Ready? Beginning of the second hour. Thank you very much. So what am I saying here? Here's what I'm saying here. I'm saying that these are really, really wicked times in a way, aren't they? I wish I eventually will ignore it. You'll hear it. And I don't even know how you're hearing it. If I look at the soundscape, whatever this thing is called, I'll be able to see if it picks it up. It can't be that loud. Here, it should come again. Shh, shh, shh. Hold on. Don't go away. Come on. I don't have the time. I haven't timed it. I don't think it's random. It's going to tweet again here. Hold on. Don't go away. Who would it? There you go. It does have a little... It actually shows up. Now I'm imitating it. That's stupid. But to now and then we get stupid things on the show. So these times are so weird in terms of battling war. War all the time, as Charles Bukowski said all the time. War all the time. The battle. And this is relates also to what Henry Miller was saying in the beginning. And I don't want to talk about me. Let's just say this. These are really difficult times considering the divide between people's ideologies, and I know it was worse. I mean, the Civil War was about it. And people took guns and killed one another because they thought differently and they didn't want to do the same thing, right? Well, in certain ways, the battles that are going on now, considering, look at the cyber look at the cyber stuff. Cyber terrorism. How about that? The ransomware. Holy crap. You know, I got stuck with that back at the two Republican conventions ago when whoever it was hit with ransomware hit them, and then that seeped into all the other window things. I'm beginning to think maybe everyone should have Macs because they're just impossible, I hear, to I'm hearing the static now. To what? To hack. That's the word. I couldn't find the word hack. Hello. Ay, ay, ay. Look at all that stuff. It's just like everywhere you go and everything you do, even in the privacy of your own home, there are attacks. You're attacked. And of course, the news, this just way too much input that goes on between what is available on the internet. I mean, when I started this show, there was nowhere near what there is now. So I'm like been buried in this tsunami of information, misinformation, entertainment, all the just one big ball of fire, information on fire, a big ball that's gone. It's almost a black hole. And I say that without really knowing the elements and truth behind what is a black hole. But I say that because I just, you know, a place where there's no light, no dark, very dark. So I'm thinking, and I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be funny? And man, if this catches on, I can make $1 million just on this. And, you know, and then on the other stuff that I haven't told you about. But this, this is like, what? Don't worry about it. I'm going to fan myself again. You get a little piece of that sound through the mic every phone. I love the little, I wish you could see that on the, I don't even know what this is called. Is it the soundscape? Is it the, I don't know, the meter, the sound meter? I don't know whatever it is. You know, I can just sit here and do this. I remember in the real old days when I was like mixing radio shows, there was this disco radio show that we used to do. And I used to sit in this wonderful studio. Big studio where you could smoke, you could do anything, you know, with this huge board. What's a board? You know, a sound control board. It was none of this. Everything was analog. And I used to sit there, and on both sides of the speakers that were on both sides of me, the left and the right speaker on the control panel, I mean, they had these, they had that sound things that you now see when you record stuff on places like Audacity and Analocity and Record Me and all the other digital, what are they? Digital programs. What are they? They're programs. Okay. This isn't a program. This is a show, but that's another thing. Okay. And I used to sit there, and in those days we used to stimulate ourselves with various things. I used to sit there and put on this stuff really loud and just focus on those, on these squiggles and lines that were made, that represented the sounds from the, well, those times the records, the discs, you know, the sound that was coming through on the control panel. And it was always fascinating, and it was fascinating even when I wasn't stimulating myself with anything but coffee maybe and tobacco, but I mean real tobacco. Even then, okay, it was just so entertaining to just see what instruments and what combination of instruments and voices, what designs were made. So I turned the lights off, and there was just enough light to see that the control panel had lights, some kind of built-in lights, so you could work and do the mixing, because it was like, I don't know how many tracks and how many things. There was a ton. This thing was like, I'm, you don't see me, and I can't see what I'm doing, but I'm stretching my arms out. You know, it was a huge, I mean, no, we had to lean over to get one of the pots on the side. I said pots. I didn't mean pot. For those of you who are thinking digital and not, well, they got digital pots on some of these recorders. Anyway, you know, the levers that go up and down for volume and treble and bass and whatever other kinds of things of sound effects and echoes. And I just love to see how different every single one. These were like snowflakes. Every sound was different in design when you looked at it. I used to love that. And so, because of that, using this particular, we started to use a while back Audacity to put this into a recording. It's the only way to say it, because it is recording. Recording is not necessarily tape. I said taping is not taping. It's recording this digitally. So, now ever since those days, which, and I'm going back to like, you know, early 80s and late 70s, early 80s. And here's this. And it every once in a while, I'm distracted by the sound, the shapes that the sounds of my voice make on this. And so when I do this, which is just the waving. They're like, it's strings. They're little strings. It does pick it up, but it's not thick. Anyway, you can't see it, and it's none of your BI business how it looks anyway, does it? So anyway, these days, we are so attacked. And I use the word attack because I mean that. We are attacked because everybody is jockeying for your attention. Everybody in the media, everybody, the people next door, the people, the people you go to a store, a store, people next door. Well, sometimes, I don't know. I don't see my neighbors, to be honest with you. I rarely do when they don't want to see me, but that's another story. Another couple of stories too, and someday I'll tell you them all. But I'm, you know, you go into public and you go into a store, they want what you want. Like for instance, I only recently learned how to handle the people at Best Buy. Best Buy, I don't know if they had that in your area. It's a franchise and they sell all these digital things. Everything's digital. They got digital refrigerators, digital washing machines, digital clocks, digital coffee makers, drones. I got a whole aisle of drones. Digital screens, high density phones, computers, laptop computers, everything. You know, you name it. Best Buy. These poor kids who work there, and I say poor kids, I mean, you know, they get a job, they get the job, but I got a feeling that it's a very low hourly rate, if any hourly rate at all, and I got a feeling that what they sell is what promotes their salary. I don't think they get a lot of money for hanging around and servicing people. That's a shame, but, you know, it works that way in lots of businesses. And this day, these days, what have you. Okay. Well, so that, so they're taught to be, and they don't even have to be taught because I think they just understand and learn that being aggressive is important. You wanna, you're, because they're in competition with all the other people who work there. Maybe not all the others because I don't know who managers and what they get or, I don't know. But the salespeople. And they're always young and I appreciate that. Okay. But, If you're just looking around, and I do a lot of looking around at Best Buy, I always want to know, hey, what's the new digital thing? Hey, you can look, you got digital Bic pens now, or whatever the case may be. So, one, two, sometimes two at a time, they will come up to you. If you have not addressed any one of them, or gone up to them, or gone up to a counter, or somebody in some area who's dealing with the sales of objects in that area, they will come up to you and go, hi, is there anything I can help you find? Which I appreciate because it's that's fine English. Now, they don't say, is there anything I can help you with? Because of that, if it ends with, then it should be, is there anything I can help you with when you're looking for something? And it would have to continue, but they wouldn't continue it because they're not going to speak well. Well, I, it doesn't annoy me or anything. I just say no most of the time. And, but you know, there was this one time I was in there and it's a big store. And so every place I went on the floor of the store, cause there are aisles and sections and it's a large area. Everywhere I went, one of them was, is there anything I can help you find or anything I can help you with? Hi, anything I can help you? Hi, anything I can help you? You know, whatever. Who is it? Guy, gal, whatever. And this one time I was there, it was just annoying. Because I like to look in every section. So if you go in every section, Frank, you know what's going to happen. Someone's going to stop you in every section. Now, there's a couple of ways to get rid of them, especially if you just want to keep looking. I'm not saying don't use them. There are times I went in there and I looked. I knew what I wanted. I say, hey, listen, I want to buy an iTab or an iPad. I don't know if this is a pad and a tab. I just know they both have eyes in front of them. Show me what you have. And then they help you. And a lot, and I've never had a person in there who assisted me in purchasing something who wasn't very good at it and wasn't polite and informative and educational. Okay? So I'm not... I don't mean anything against them, but their aggressiveness once in a while gets to me. So one day, I mean, they got a number of ways of doing it, but this one really works. I'm telling you, they don't know what to do. If two, especially since I was annoyed in the first place, and two of them, I don't know how they worked that out. What were they going to do? Split the difference? Or, you know, let's both go up to that guy, and if he wants stuff that's in your area, it's okay. If he wants stuff that's in my area... They didn't talk like that, but, you know, I was going to do my characterization of them. They're my caricatures. They're caricatures in my head. Everyone's a caricature in my head, don't you know? And so... Yes, I had to put that in. That's my, I know I copy Henry Miller doing that, but I wish I had a phrase like that for myself, don't you know? I love having that extra thing. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? There's one maybe I should do. See what I'm saying? I'm not going to remember it. So two of them come up to me and I know what they're going to say. They start to say, one of them says, and the other one, and they're leaning into me, you know, is there anything now mid announcement that they're going to make to me, mid question, I put my finger up to my mouth and I go, shh, shh. I put my hand up, you know, like to stop. Shh. I'm telling you, they stopped dead. They didn't know what to do. No one had ever done this to them, right? And I went, shh, shh. I backed up and walked away. They didn't follow me. And I'm realizing, as I do these things, and lots of times these things just come to my head, and I do this, because the noise of the world, which I don't mind, I'm a fan of noise, and I've been a fan of noise ever since I was a kid, because I grew up with noise all over the place. Noise. I learned to do things. It's a meditation trick. It's why I was able to meditate when I learned that, because I can work and think amid noise. Things that distract people in terms of noise, I don't have that problem. I have, for instance, I obtained, you don't catch it, so what can I say? I was stricken, and stricken's a little tough, because that connotates something violent, and it's not violent, but I gotta use the word got after all that. My father keeps, he hated that word. You got? What kind of language is that? And he was teaching me language. I got, tinnitus or tinnitus or however you want to pronounce it. And that's a whole other story. And I've told that before. I won't tell it now. So there's this constant ringing in my ears, which will drive anyone out of their minds, especially if they have to do the kind of concentration and focus that I do for a living and such. Okay. And it's not like I'm not talking about important stuff. Like, you know, like fixing someone's artery in their heart or head. That's not brain surgery. Oh, that's right. I forgot to tell you. And I'll tell you right now. Rocket science is my new for culture column every month. So it's at forculture.com. I forgot to tell you about that. Go there. Now, what does all this lead to? All this leads to the fact that, and I told you how to keep people quiet. You know, that'll work with any aggressive salesman. You just go, shh, shh, back up and walk away. And then when you need help, you approach the person, that person or another person, whatever. So there's another trick. I should put all these tricks. No, you know, people aren't going to do this. A lot of people aren't going to do this. No one's going to do this, actually. But I share it with you in case you want to. That's all. You don't have to do it. There's no, you know. So I said to myself, what if I had this segment, and we'll see if this works this time in this show here. And that's coming up too, because I haven't even started the subject that we're going to talk about here. But I said, what if there was this thing called the Dada News? In the days of World War I, when everybody thought the world was coming apart at the seams, everything was coming apart at the seams. Everyone thought, you think it's weird now? Back, and I don't know this, I just know it from reading, writing and arithmetic, and from people who told me about it, because I knew people from the World War I. And the world was coming apart. That was supposedly the war to end all wars. A war with a logo. Okay? Just like the mother of all wars, the Iraqi, you know, they found a slogan, right? Leave it to the commercial world, right? Here's a slogan, the war to end all, the mother of all wars, whatever. The war to end all wars. And we know that wasn't the war to end all wars, because we learned about weapons later on that were far more devastating, and we know them now. Okay, here's the point. The Dada movement, which was an art and act, it was an art movement, not just in painting, not just in the art of collage and painting, and it was in poetry, it was in song, it was in everything. It started out there in Paris. The Dadaists got together, and they displayed and presented nonsense in the form of art. The art of nonsense was created. You're right. And if anybody who knows me or listens to this show probably went like, oh my goodness, imagine Imagine Cotolo growing up and he learns about this movement, the Dada movement. Is he not absolutely, I am telling you, I got so deep into this, but I'm here's the point. The point is if we're at the point right now where everything is being attacked, we're getting attacked from everywhere, entertainment, education, news, information, everything, then what if we had a little segment called the Dada News? Something that reported, now this is not like fake news now, okay? And I'll explain it to you by doing it for you right after the top of the hour. The Dada News with a little music in the background, which is going to be as abstract as everything. And it's going to be the kind of report you'll want to hear. And it'll start to make sense after a couple of, so maybe I'll do this for a couple of weeks. Maybe I'll do a little segment and send it out to other shows. Maybe I'll forget about the whole thing and just, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I want to try it and have some fun with it. And it's perfect for me too because it's, and you know, the art of nonsense applied to the news, and it will have a little entertainment value and artistic value. The Dada News will debut on this show at the second hour. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am the Bard of Broadcasting, and by and large, which is this, I love that one too. At least I don't say, ready? Well, what is it? Much ado about nothing. Yeah. See, there's the thing, like contorting these things, right? Cause people, as I told you many times, and you know, you listen, you hear your radio announcers, and if there are any more, whatever, you've always heard them do that, and you hear people who are to public speaking use phrases, you know, like, those kind of phrases. And without further ado, there's one. Okay. No one says that in actual life, talking to other people. You don't say, you don't take somebody out to dinner, go to a restaurant, sit down, you do a little talking, and then go, well, without further ado, let's order. Nobody talks like that. But somehow those phrases get attached to people who do broadcasting and announcements. And I like to do, yeah, so without further cordon bleu, see, I like to just see what I did there? Yeah, I do. I see what you did there. The combination of comedy and high art is a thin line, a razor-thin line. But let's go now to the subject. As I mentioned in the past, I'm not going to mention it again, it's a wonderful magazine because it's done what other magazines haven't done, and that is kept on the Hallelujah Trail and keeping up with everything. Popular Mechanics is no longer about learning to put in a screw or build the table. It's about so much more. How your world works. Talking about slogans, that's it. Still available. You can get it. And I'm doing this, again, the way I used to talk about Entertainment Weekly. I don't get a dime for this, but I am getting a free subscription right now, and I want to keep it that way. And I deserve it. But I am going to read from this 27 menaces that might kill you, normal things that can kill you. So here we are talking about how we are attacked by digital things and all the stuff I mentioned before, which I'm not going to reiterate, but you know what I'm talking about. And this, unbelievable what's going on, this wonderful article here, Will It Kill You?, is a great one, and I'm going to go through some of this, and you're going to be shocked, and we'll talk about it. How do I know you're going to be shocked? You know, I know people who listen to the show and they'll go, yeah, oh, I know that. Oh, well, I know that. And they did. And they're not lying to me. Yeah, I knew that. Oh, I knew that. But listen to this. Because I don't know a lot of these things, but this magazine is terrific. To go do this research, let's go through some of these things. We'll break for replenishing our precious bodily fluids and filling up the glasses and doing whatever it is we need to do. Look, I still have... This coffee's gone cold. It's old and it's cold. But it's... That's what I should have had. I had a little Union Jack somewhere. I'm going to do another one. I'm going to do another Piano Bar Chronicles. That was fun. Let's look at this. And by the way, who wrote this? I don't know. I always like to give credit to Eleanor Hildebrand. God, I love that name. Not Eleanor, Hildebrand. Hildebrand. There was a James Bond story that not a lot of people know about, a short story called the Hildebrand, I think it's the same one, the Hildebrand Rarity. They never use that title for a movie because how do you sell a movie called the Hildebrand Rarity? Okay. Illustration, well, you know, the illustration doesn't matter. You're not going to get credit because we're not going to show you anything. We're just going to talk about it. Ms. Hildebrand wrote this wonderful article. Let's give you, and you know what's great about this? Odds. Some kind of odds we're going to give you with this, in terms she gives you, not in terms of numbers, but in terms of things. I was going to start this with old wives' tales about how you could really get hurt. And maybe I will. But let's do this, and then maybe that'll branch off, spin off into ideas, not ideas, but remembrances of various things that mommy and daddy told you, your teachers told you, your priests and your rabbis or whoever it is that was telling you things like, be careful, okay? I'm not going to put, this is, it's true or not, pigs. I, you know, I love this beginning here. Oh, they all have, oh, look, a lot of them. This is a sidebar. Pigs is a sidebar. We won't go there. Food reheated in plastic containers. I don't know what you're expecting me to say. I mean, because it's obviously like electric buzz saws. Well, it's got to be buzz saw. I mean, those things are obviously, you take off your hands, your eyes, they can kill you. Just rip through you. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Okay, we know that. So what we're doing, put this wire under here. Okay, what we're talking about are regular things. Food reheated in plastic containers. The fear. What is the fear connected to that? Microwaves pull chemicals out of plastic and into your food. So you know how you put the, so people do this. You're, it says microwavable. This is called BPA. Is an additive in hand. Clear plastic in hard. Oh, BPA is an additive in hard, clear plastic, including most takeout and food storage containers. When you put BPA-filled objects into the microwave, the heat created causes BPA to leach into your food. Leach, it says, into your food. I love people who write with great words, okay? And thus, it gets into you, right? The National Institutes of Health studies in rats found that high levels of BPA exposure during pregnancy and or lactation can reduce survival, birth weight, and growth of offspring early in life and delay the onset of puberty. Just because the mommy was pregnant and she's eating out of this stuff that they're cooking in the microwave. That's nuts. That same study, however, pointed out that the exposure necessary to achieve the bad results was far in excess of the highest estimated daily intake of BPA. So don't think that if you just do it once, twice, three, or even you do it like twice, three times a week, and you're 45, that this, or you're pregnant, and you're pregnant, and you're 19, I would worry about doing this all the time, but excessive amounts. The FDA maintains that the amount of BPA in everyday plastics is safe. There is no consensus on the long-term effects. Odds of death, use a real plate. See, she tells you, just use a real plate. Oh, is that for this or this? No, it is. Okay, how about scratched Teflon pans? You know, Teflon was this material that was invented sometime. I always sound like my father. It's this thing that was invented sometime. That so that you didn't have to, you know, non-stick frying pans, okay? One of the main chemicals used to make Teflon is, I'm going to pronounce this, try to pronounce this as perfluorotenoic acid. Perfluotenoic acid, PFOA. It can cause various cancers and cause various cancers. Here's what's happened, and I told you about this too. Actual magazines, analog magazines, there's no way to make the font bigger. Because the magazines have to be less pages, They have reduced the size of the fonts or the letters, the type, as we used to call it, so small that it's tough to read. I'm going to get a little piece of paper that's going to, I could kind of put it on every sentence here. What did I say? It can cause various cancers and reduce fertility in lab animals. But the high temperatures used to make your pants completely remove PFOA. In fact, the American Cancer Society says there are no known risks to eating food cooked on Teflon pans. What you do need to worry about is letting the pan reach too high heat. The fluoropolymers in Teflon start to break down at 500 degrees Fahrenheit. At around 680 degrees, they release at least 6 toxin gases, including 2 carcinogens. Wow! How about that? Breathing the released fumes can cause respiratory problems and a flu-like illness. Who knew that? Who knew that, right? Thank you, Ms. Hildebrand. The odds of death? Eat your eggs, you'll be fine. Because you don't, all right? Just don't, you know, go to 680 degrees and make that stuff fly off. Oh, boy. So there are things going on you don't know about. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Electrical outlets. Long ago, I told you about a story, and I don't know if you know the story. Remember the story? If you learned, listen to the show long ago. My father, God rest his soul, Buddha rest his soul, whoever, everybody, the fates of all mankind and all the gods and earth, anybody, once saved me from electrocution. And I'm not going to tell the story, but, electrical outlets are dangerous. They always have been dangerous, and they are still dangerous just because, you know, you got one of these hard rubber things and no wires come out. It's still dangerous. Listen to this. If you put a fork tine or bobby pin in one of the electrical outlet terminals, you'll be electrocuted. There are other ways too. That's not what I did. That's not how I wasn't saving. Okay. When you stick something in only one of the terminals, you're not completing the circuit and nothing will happen. But touch the hot terminal and the neutral, say, or the hot and something grounded, and you're in trouble. This is surprisingly common still, okay? The National Fire Protection Association reports, listen to this, that 500, and, no, I was going to say, I was going to make that number way too high. 5,500 people went to the emergency room in 2015 with injuries from electrical outlets. GFCI outlet makes this harder to do since GFCI monitors the current leaving the hot terminal and returning through the ground. If there's an imbalance because of some current is leaking into you, GFCI, I don't know what that stands for, shuts the current off in as little as 1/30th of a second. They're not foolproof, the GFCI outlets. If you touch the hot and neutral conductors at the same time, they won't register discrepancy and you'll get zapped. Oh, you'll get zapped. Odds of death, painful, not fatal. But you can be electrocuted in those old ones if you do that. You stick in. I mean, who does that on purpose? Anyone? No. Kids, you gotta watch out. Kids go, you gotta get a butter knife. What's a kid doing with a butter knife anyway? Right? A kid that young with a butter knife? Hey, you got something to play with here? Play with this. You know, hey, it's not sharp. Cause butter knife, that's stupid. But there are stupid people out there, so you gotta know. Let's see. Docked boats. How can a dock boat? Are you anybody near a dock boat? Let's move on because that's too obviously. Dock boats can get undocked and get into trouble, right? So let's move on there. Getting punched in the nose. I love this one. We're getting close now to the Dada news. Okay. Getting punched in the nose. Here's the fear. The right angle can send bone fragments into your brain. This brings me back to what my father told me about splinters when I was a kid. You got to get that splinter out, because if it, because splinters travel, they move. I don't know how. I guess the body somehow, he said, made the splinter move. If it got if it started to move, why? It's alive all of a sudden because it's in me? I don't understand it. I never understood it. They never explained it to me. The splinter gets into your blood system. If it gets into your blood system, the blood will travel like a boat. Like in the Fantastic Voyage in that movie where they make the big thing little and it travels to save the man on a little submarine. Okay, well, this splinter, he said, will travel, get into your blood, and it will go to your brain. He never said heart. For some reason or another, the foreign object that is the splinter navigates to the brain. It knows the path. I don't know how, because it's an inanimate object and it has no substance that's near living. It has no signs of being a living thing. And yet, when it gets in the bloodstream, it knows how to ride to the brain. Go figure. I don't know. Getting punched in the nose, that's the fear. So this has a lot to do with that too, because they're saying that the bone fragments will go into your brain if you get punched in the nose, okay? Right at the top of the hour, at least for me as I'm doing it, what happens? A piece of mail that we don't want to read. Listen to this, then we're going to go into, replenish our precious bodily fluids and then go to the Dada news, okay? Let's just do this one. Although the American Academy of Family Physicians reports that approximately 40% of facial traumas, that's what we're calling a punch in the nose, are broken noses. Imagine that. 40% of facial traumas are broken noses. Wow. Very few, if any, of those result in death. The nasal bone is short, and this is all, we got a musical here. Okay. And relatively far from the brain. Driving it being the nasal bone, into the brain would essentially require caving in the entire front of someone's skull. And most human fists can't do that. What can kill you with a punch in the nose are complications from a broken nose, such as septal hematoma, a collection of blood, which is the septum, blood within the septum, that could become infected or damage to the cribriform plate. There's something no one, that sounds like a novel. The cribriform plate. This is the plate that separates the nasal cavity from the skull, and it's very thin. It can result in an infection in your brain. So those are here. Odds of death, very low, lower if you buy the guy a beer and apologize. And that's what it was being a little funny there. Putting in a funny, always good to do it because it's not that terrible. In the meantime, in between time, let's take that break and then come back. And we'll come back with the Dada News.
The Dole of Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Stop listening. It's not against any rule, regulation, law, or anything, but it's always in your best interest, we like to think. to listen to Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're talking about things that could kill you or you think it can kill you. And what's real and what's not real? Well, it's all real. I'm not saying what's real and what's not real. Well, actually, and virtually, not real. So if you were here for the first half of the show, bless you. This is the second half of the show. And as I mentioned, I'm going to do the Dada News. This will get your mind off of the attacks that are aiming at you every single day on your iPhone, your iTab, your iPad, your pad phone, your pad tone, your phone connected to the iPhone, and the iPhone connected to the that phone, and the Android connected to the hip phone. Okay, there's a little right there. There's a little Dada stuff right there. So you, if you want, as of course you've got a Cthulhu Chronicles notebook, I'm sure you do. So if you don't know anything about the Dada movement, then D-A-D-A, go look it up later, and you will understand what we're going to do here with the Dada News. This is all, none of this is scripted, by the way. Why do I say that? I want applause? I don't want applause. The point is, here's the Dada News with special music by the late, great John Cage did our theme. And he's going to do that now. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Frank Cthulhu with the Dada News. Today in East Asia, a man riding a bicycle was arrested when he perpetrated a banana and slipped. He fell upon an elephant. That elephant was injured. The man was immediately taken to a police station where he ate breakfast. At that time, all foods being served were served in great quantities. The captain of a ship came in and he handed the man a saxophone. That saxophone was sold later for $2 million. In China, three men wearing headphones stormed through a street that was emaciated with locusts. The locusts, most people think, were developed from machines in Saigon. Saigon being in Vietnam. In Vietnam, the Saigon locust machines were oiled with milk. The milk came from cows, and the cows roamed the rice paddy fields and watched a movie by favorite actress Patty Fields. Today in Washington, D.C., the United States recorded three new filibusters that were not ever busted. The busted fillers were then taken to the Museum of Art in New York City, and they were dried to a fine powder, at which time 17 gorgeous beauty models from a beauty store, which had red paint and a back entrance, ate the powder. In other stories, South America turned purple today for the first time since 1842 when three American frontiers entered off of the ocean and named themselves Fred. Fred Jones, Fred Smith, and Fred Michaels. All three Freds immediately painted from paint they got at Pasternak's paint store in Brooklyn, New York, and painted most of the country purple. Today, it turned purple again when three men eating apples decided to defecate on the street. This just in from the wire. Electricity that has often moved and helped to operate large machines is now being conducted through Italian spaghetti dishes cooked by ordinary men who are large and have high cholesterol. These men drive in cars that are antiques and are painted orange from the back, have no lights, and do not exceed a speed of 20 miles an hour only at night. Our next news item is sad. Mr. Augustine Miraculous is dead. At 95, and some people think really 59, Mr. Miraculous was born in a rickshaw on the side of a street that did not allow rickshaws. That was many years ago, but today Mr. Miraculous died, and it was no miracle that his death came early in the morning when the sun was shining and looked much like a peach. Mr. Miraculous lived most of his life in Alabama, where he sold roller skates for a living. Those roller skates were the reason that most doctors in the area used stethoscopes. Mr. Miraculous married three women twice and had six kids four times. Many of them had ears that looked quite like rabbit ears. Those rabbit ears were eventually placed on top of television when television was invented to be able to tune in to Arthur Godfrey. Arthur Godfrey, who died many years before, once had Mr. Miraculous on his show, a radio show. At that point, Arthur Godfrey became constipated. Mr. Miraculous is survived by 16 daughters, 4 wives, 3 hens, 2 ducks, and a horse that he liked to ride in the afternoon, especially after eating grilled cheese sandwiches. Mr. Miraculous will be buried in a big cauldron next week, sometime at the beginning of the week, only it might be later. Finally, organizations in Europe are now allowing for the growing of cactus in bathrooms across the continent. Many people who grow cactus in their bathrooms have to regard themselves as horticulturists, and yet the philosophy behind horticulturists is often considered communism. The cacti, which is the plural of cactus, but has nothing to do with mandarin oranges, may indeed cause a riot sometime in March of next year. Since the turn of the century, 2000, from the 1900s to 2000, which is a numerical order, cacti, which is the plural of cactus, were not allowed anywhere near Madrid. Madrid, the capital of Spain, was once set aflame with a single match, although the concrete did not burn, and most of the people involved were wearing Bermuda shorts. For the Dada News, this is Frank Catolo. Good night. So there you have it. That's the Dada News. I think we may have created a genre. Okay? We may have created a genre with the Dada News. Please write to me and tell me if you like the Dada News, if you'd like me to do Dada News segments on this show, or send you them, or send them to other shows and have them on other shows. The Dada News which will, you figure it out, okay? Because that's the Dada news. And in this day and age, we need more Dada. That's because I just found the slogan. Because the Dada news, because in this day and age, we need more Dada. I'm writing it because that is the, made me more Dada. I'm keeping this and we're gonna do pieces of that. And you know, listen to me. I don't mean just the show. Listen to me right now. If you want to do your own Dada news and send it to me in an MP3 file, I will air it. Do your Dada news. You can be a star now. This on Cotolo Chronicles. We'll air it. We'll play it. Playing it is airing it. Play it. Air it. Do your own Dada news report. Send it to me, fcotolo@yahoo.com. Or, no, just send it there. I gotta keep this manageable. Send me your Dada news report. Do a Dada news report. Send it to me. We will air it. I guarantee that. What will I give you? If it's really, 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 I hate doing that. I'm not going to do it. If it is a fine broadcast, if it follows all the Dada news, there's no format. So whatever you do, that's it. Whatever you do with Dada, you can do it. Everyone who sends me one will get a free copy. A free copy. Listen to this, because your email will be there and I will send it to you. A free copy. I don't know which book. One of my books from one of my websites. One of my Amazon books. Okay? Free. All you need to do is send me. See, I just made this up too. This is Dada too. I thought about doing the Dada news as I mentioned and we talked about it and I just did it. And I can do it again, but I want you to do it. And I never thought this could, it's not a contest. I'm going to pay you with one of my books. If you send me your own Dada news, record it. Anybody can record anything anymore. My father would be right if he said that. And that was his description of what goes on in this theater of sound, now available on your, zeros and ones machine. Okay? Because now you can video, you can audio. Do it! Don't do video. Because there's no reason. This isn't television. Do audio. Do a Dada news report. Whether you know me or don't know me, whatever it is, whoever you are, whatever it is for you. I don't even want to end what it is. Do it. Send it to me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. Don't make it long because, you know, the bigger the file, even though it's compressed as an MP3 file, make it short. I did a long one there. I don't know. That went on for a couple of minutes. You could do a minute. Just do a minute. Do a minute. Do 30 seconds. Whatever the case may be, do it. Your own Dada News report. Just how it goes. And now that Dada News, I'm insert your name here. And that's not your name. Okay. Don't say I'm insert your name here. I'm Robbie Zignanev. I'm Patricia. One of you girls too and women. I'm Patricia Mendoza. And this is the Dada News. And then bingo, you do it. Okay. And it will be played here. And if it is played on the air, you will get a free copy of one of my books, which of course is easy to do. One of my digital books, because all I have to do is send you a link and then you download it for nothing. Okay. So how's that? I think that's good. Once in a while, we do things like that. We've never done anything like that. I don't think, but we are doing it. Because I think this is good, and I would really like... I had a fun doing that right off the top of my head. You know, if you want to write it, just don't take a lot of time. Do whatever you want to do. Make it as spontaneous as possible. Don't sit down and write it, because then you've written the Dada. See, then you could just send me... I'll tell you what, we'll do this too. Here we go. If you want to write one and send it to me, I will make that the script and I'll read it as part of the Dada News. Because now I'm liking this so much right now that I'm going to do the Dada News whenever we don't have a guest. See? Hear? Touch? whenever we don't have a guest. When I have a guest, I'm not going to go, huh? Okay, hold on now. Here's a little new. No, I'm not going to do that. And I don't want to make this show into anything that that approaches a format. So there you go. Write it to me. If you write it, you put it on a Word document. Oh, don't even put it on a Word document. Write it in the body of the email, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and I'll make that the script for the next Dada News with John Cage. And he would love that. John Cage would love the fact that I've used his abstract, almost Dada-like music as the soundtrack. John Williams would hate it, but, you know, he has enough Academy Awards and money and brilliance not to care. My name is Frank Catone, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're going to go back for the rest of the show and talk about this stuff that we were talking about. Things that can kill you. Will it kill you? Normal things that we think about and talk about. And in this, I want to tell you something. This is long enough to be another complete show, but that's because we did the Dada News and a lot of talking beforehand. Let's look at some of these other ones. We finished with, we didn't finish. We finished the first part of this little segment with getting punched in the nose. Now we're going to move to getting hit by a car. How many people, let me see a show of hands. I know it, I can't see it, but I know. Let's do it just in case. I'm putting up my know someone or have witnessed somebody getting hit by a car. I'm counting in my head of all the people who have just raised their hands. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And if you yourself is a very bad phrase. And if you have ever been hit by a vehicle, I hope you stood up and walked and everything's okay with you ahead of time. I mean, afterwards. The very famous show I did about the boy with the hardest head in the world, Joe Federico, who was hit in the head. Was hit by a truck in the head and continued the handball game that I was having with him directly afterwards. It's an amazing story, but not everybody is that lucky and not everybody has a head of that density. So let's read about the fear of getting hit by a car. What happens when you get hit by a car? When cars battle people, writes Ms. Hildebrand. I just love saying that name. I love Eleanor Hildebrand. Eleanor, I could try to get Eleanor Hildebrand on the show. Just so I could say, who is it, Miss Hildebrand? I love that name. The pursuit of automotive autonomy has been a boon for safety, and it has led to features such as automatic braking and lane departure warnings becoming common. Even in less expensive cars. Along with driver safety, manufacturers are focused on making collisions with pedestrians less lethal. Less lethal. It's not saying extinct. Well, making people extinct. That's a bad word to use anyway. It's not making it impossible. It's making it less lethal. That's good. Considering that according to the National Highway Safety Administration, the year is 2013. 4,735 pedestrians were killed in traffic accidents and another 66,000 were injured. Now, that's in traffic accidents, not getting hit by a car, which is why I don't know why Ms. Hildebrand has given us a broad factoid, which I don't even know if that's a word, a broad study figures and why she hasn't done new safety features include rounded edges, sloping hoods, a lack of hood ornaments, and the following. Here are the following things that are attempting to make it less lethal if you're hit by a car. Detection systems, front-facing cameras typically equipped with night vision, and radars are getting good at identifying humans on foot or skateboards or bicycles. If a collision seems imminent, flashes alert the driver or the car automatically brakes. See, then there's some more good things to the stuff that people are worried about with these automatic cars. Also, these are cars that people drive, not automatic or driverless cars, or whatever they call them. I don't even know what they call them. Two, engine gaps. New cars have at least 0.8 inches of space between the engine and the hood so that the metal can flex, absorbing impact without the victims hitting the hard engine. Who'd have thunk that one, huh? Remember I did a show with the 7 or 8 or 9 the most important, you know, real important people for the future? We don't remember any of their names, do we? But we know that there's people out there who are studying and working on this stuff, this kind of stuff. Even as you sleep at night and get up in the morning, and I hope you do, unless you sleep in the day and get up at night because you work at night, whatever the case may be in that case. Number three, pop-up hoods. Some companies, such as Buick, are adding active hoods. When the car detects a collision with a pedestrian, the front hood angle increases, so it's raised in the rear to soften the landing. I was like, you know, you gotta wonder, why didn't they think of these things when they had cars that were like tanks? Does anyone remember those big Chryslers? How about those Plymouths when they tried shifting gears with push button? They had push button cars. Do you know that never caught on? I've told you about that. There were push button cars. Will you change with push buttons like you do on a blender? Those kind of buttons. That didn't work. That didn't work at all. Number four, external airbags. External airbags. I said it twice because the second time was like, did you say external airbags, Frank? You betcha. You betcha. This is a lot of your BI business. So listen, I said external airbags. Volvo V40s in Europe come standard with external airbags. And Subaru has developed a similar system. When V40s detect a collision with a pedestrian, think about that. V40 being a car, mechanical thing, this is like the splinter that it's mechanical. It's a program somehow to do what it does. It's more than a splinter, but what I'm saying is it knows something. The splinter knows nothing. It's not going to the brain. But the V40 detects a collision with a pedestrian. It knows it's not a lamp. It's not a street lamp. It knows it's not a fire hydrant. It knows it's not another car. It's not a... what else could be there in the street? Whatever. A robot. When V40s detect a collision with a pedestrian, they deploy airbags from the front bumper and the gap where the hood meets the windshield. It's possible that if you were hurt, hit by a car like that, you were hit, and the only way you get hurt is if you bounced back and maybe, you know, fell on your head or fell on or broke something. But the car... the impact of the car wouldn't be the reason. And you wouldn't get as damaged or injured at all. Odds of death, Miss Hildebrand says, improving. So there's a lot of things that are good. I don't want to say that. There's a lot of things that may be good about getting hit by a car. Yeah, I don't die. That's good. It's odd to put those kind of things in categories, good, bad, whatever. They're all bad. You don't want to get by a car no matter what. But lessening the injury, the fact that people are thinking about the welfare of the public. Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the sound escape now. I like those. I like making those little designs. You can't see them, so why the hell am I doing it? I think it's good that people are thinking about these things and trying to work these things out, don't you? What? Oh, no one ever told me this, but I didn't know. People say that swimming in the ocean. So if you live near an ocean, you go to the beach. I guess there's beaches near seas and whatever. I don't know. If you're swimming in the ocean with a cut, you already have a cut. Maybe you get a cut in the ocean, or maybe you have a cut. And this is it. They say your blood will attract sharks. Do you hear that thing going? I don't hear the tweet anymore. Maybe the battery is completely dead. An average of 82 unprovoked shark attacks occur worldwide each year, and only 7 to 9% of those attacks are fatal. 7 to 9%. Still too much for my money. I don't like those odds. Although, what are they? 10 to 1? With the most? 10 to 1 that you will... 10 to 1 that you will... Wow, 9%, that's 10 to 1. Yeah, I don't like those odds. 10% that a shark will kill you if you meet one in the ocean. Where else are you going to meet it? At a bar? at Starbucks? No. Sharks are attuned to all kinds of bodily fluids, according to George Burgess, who is the director of the Program for Shark Research at the Florida Museum of Natural History. But detection doesn't necessarily lead to pursuit. There are, as they say, I don't know what this is called. I'm doing it. Okay. They are, as they say, especially if they are the well-meaning ants and you've been with recently. It's kind of a sentence. Is this Miss Hildebrand? Okay. There are, as they say, many fish in the sea. Plus, there's nothing particularly attractive about human blood. Did you know this? I didn't know this. A shark like, whoa. If a shark could talk, he'd go like, I smell human blood. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood from a human comes. I guess that's how he'd have to rhyme it. If he decided to rhyme it like that particular part from a famous fairy tale, which I doubt if a shark would know, learn, memorize, or even understand. If you've got just a small scratch, there's not much cause for alarm if you're swimming in the ocean. If you're streaming blood, however, it's probably best to get out of the water. Forget about the shark. If you cut yourself and blood is going all out, what are you going to worry about? Uh-oh. I think I'll take my chances and continue to bleed in the ocean because I'm having fun. No, you get out anyway. You don't get out because, oh my goodness, what if a shark smells the streaming blood? That's not why you get out. You get out to save yourself from bleeding to death. Forget about the shark, okay? The chances of you, and I'm going to make up these odds, but I'm going to think about this. If you're streaming blood, and while swimming in the ocean, the chances of you dying are, I'm going to say they're like 3 to 2, which is like 40% tops. And you know, no, wait a second. It's going to be 100% if you don't do anything about it. You could bleed to death, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially if you, for some reason, mistakenly hit an artery. All right. So don't worry about the shark. Get out of the ocean and get help. I had to tell you that, you know. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man whose name adorns the title of the show. Show is Cotolo Chronicles here, Y2K plus 17. This is our, I don't know, is our 19th year, 20th year here on the old show, Long before there were things like, you know, WTF and those other guys who've seen the king of the podcasts. The president of the United States appeared on Mark Maron's podcast. Wow. Okay. And years ago, nobody would come on my show because it was the NK Lab. Well, anyway, let's not go back to that haunting time in my life, which doesn't haunt me at all. We're going to need some more Henry Miller talking so we can understand. It's meaningless, but it's funny and it's part of history. So there. Here's another one. How about this? Let's look at some of these. Getting shot. Hey, getting shot. Today, and in today's world, where we talk about, this is why we need the Dada News, right? Because of these lone wolves and these terrorists and people who just decide to go nuts. There were always people who went nuts, okay? That has nothing to do with 9/11 and terrorism. But let's face it, there are more people out there. Or are there more people, or are more people, or are these things being reported more? I don't know. Don't have those statistics. But you know what people will say? They'll say whatever it is that supports how they feel about it. Leave me alone. Let's look at this. Eleanor Hildebrand tells us this. Getting shot. The fear that bullets do irreparable damage to your insides. Hey, let me see another show of hands. How many people know someone who's been shot? My hand's up. Anybody? Okay. How about this? Keep your hand up if you know someone who's been shot and is still living. Okay. So there you go. I'm sure some people have done that. Listen to what Eleanor Hildebrand has to say about this. If a major organ or blood vessel is hit, you better hope your will is up to date. The bullet. A 1998 study found that less than 10% of people shot in the heart will survive. Less than 10%. We're back into it's 10 to 1. You're going to survive. Those are not good odds. Only 5% of the approximately 20,000 people shot in the head each year live. 20,000 people a year are shot in the head? I don't know if she doesn't write if it's accidentally or not or whatever. Okay, bullet wounds to most of the rest of your body are typically non-fatal. 80%. 80% of bullet shots that are not to the head or directly into the heart are survivable. If that is a word. Is that a word? Survivable? You will survive from those with the proper care. If you're shot, you're shot in the ocean, and I'm laughing at this. If you're shot in the ocean and you're streaming blood where you were shot, and you know about the streaming blood now, right? But if you, where you were shot is going to make a difference, because if you can't get to land, all right. But what are the odds? Now look at that one. What are the odds? And I think this is, I don't know the odds of this, but you know, you could find the odds of almost anything. And, I know I've written, funny blogs about, you know, what are the odds of these very strange circumstances, but it's even like, you know, getting struck by lightning is a terrible thing and people do survive. But what are the odds of getting struck by lightning? Okay. They're very large. So the thing is, what are the odds of you're swimming in the ocean? You rip. Let's not even say it's an artery. Let's say you rip open part on a rock or something, or you rip open a piece of flesh and you're streaming blood, and then you get shot. Well, I mean, anywhere. I mean, just forget about, well, you get shot in the head. Well, then, you know, you got that and you're in the water and you're going to die and drown before you even die of the shot. But, you know, the odds of getting shot by a bullet, with a bullet, not by a bullet, but with a gun that has a bullet and then shoots the bullet. While you're streaming blood, now two separate incidents there. Those odds are they're gigantic. They're gigantoid, which is not a word. They're humongous. They're biblical. They're biblical. Because think of all you have to have. And you should do this with a lot of things. To understand, I have a propensity to cut myself. Not even just using knives, but sharp objects. You know, things happen. And for some reason or other, they happen to me. And it's accidental. Not necessarily because I'm sloppy, although sometimes I'm sloppy. What I do, what I have done in my later life, is to be conscious and to stay with the moment I'm using a knife. I have a knife in my hand. I should not put it this way, that way. I should move. I should, you know, not extra careful, because extra careful can cause you death too. I don't think it's in the book yet. Being extra careful doing anything. What are the odds? You know, it'll kill you being extra careful. Maybe. But being conscious and aware is the key to like everything almost. I like everything almost. Now there's a professional way of putting it. Hey, you know what? Now that, see how it comes to my mind? You know what that is? It's the saloon doors between my unconscious and my conscious. An idea, something, a thought popping from the subconscious into the conscious. And that is that recently I was in touch with, on Facebook, where a lot of people get in touch with me, Brock LaRob. And Brock went, hey, when am I going to be, you know, how about another Brock LaRob again? Well, Brock LaRob was moving, I heard, across the country and winding up somewhere in Florida. And I am going to have Brock LaRob again. These are the kind of things that Brock LaRob and I talk about that really they're really fun and good things because we get along wonderful. We always have, even though he's turned into somebody who's ideologically out there compared to me. Of course, I'm ideologically out there compared to him. So you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. We're going to have Brock LaRob again, and that's bound to be entertaining. And it could be educational. You know, things that are entertaining can be educational, and you should always be open to being educated. Let's go here. Oh, here's one. I love some of these old ones because these are the ones that, oh my goodness, the, as I told you with the splinter, these are the ones that aunts and uncles and people told me that drive me nuts. You know that Dada? I like the Dada news. I like that. I like having to just, okay, I'm going to do that. Don't forget. I won't either. Either write a script in an email or record on an MP3, get it compressed to an MP3. Don't send me a WAV file. There's no way that's going through. It's too big. They're all too big. You know, a minute, maybe less, of a, your Dada news report. fcatolo@yahoo.com. I will air it on a show that does not have a guest. If I have three or four of them, I'll air them all. Or I'll separate them. We'll have some fun with that because I think we all need... and you don't look at this. You don't have to be trained as a news reporter, right? Because all you have to do is say things as if it's the news. And it's so abstract, it's so out there that you're making a statement by not doing anything but nonsense. Because if you think about it, and you might not have to, you might think this already, much of the stuff, whether it's fake news, real news, or whatever, or it could be misinformed news or badly reported news. It's all really nonsense. Right? Okay. Just thought I'd say that again because I like that idea and I want you to participate if you can. Listen to this one. Maybe you've been told this as a child or even now. Plugging in an appliance while your hands are wet. Hold your hands away. Don't you let all it, right? The fear is that moisture will transfer the current from the plug to you. This is another electrocution thing. Each year, an estimated 500 to 1,000 deaths are caused by electrical injuries. We already told you about that. Since most water contains impurities and conducts electricity extremely well, and electric currents tend to flow where there is the least resistance, they will usually go through the water and into you if the opportunity presents itself. Plus, wet skin has a lower resistance than dry skin. You could get a fatal shock to your heart. Listen to the odds of this one, according to Eleanor Hildebrand. Odds of death, dry or die. Do not plug in or use appliances if your hands are wet. I don't know about feet, but I learned something right from this, even though I know not to do that. And for some reason or another, it's instilled in me not to do that. How about this? The science in this is important to understand one way or another. Water contains impurities and conducts electricity. Okay, electric currents tend to flow where there is the least resistance. Electric currents tend to flow where there is the least resistance, and they will usually go through the water that you have. So it helps it. The water helps the electricity kill you. Wow. Now, if you're wearing rubber gloves and the rubber gloves are wet, I wonder. See, there's always something else. Everything is rocket science. Everything. Which is why you should read Rocket Science. My new forculture.com monthly essay. Is it an essay? I don't know. It's the most serious thing I've ever done. Not ever done. Give me a break. You will give me a break, too. That's why I love you. How about, oh yeah, I've done a lot of shows on hospitals, being in the hospital. And then of course recently that happened to me this year. And of course my, well, it turned out not to be anything, but the all the stories I did about being in the hospital over the past years have been serious. And, so, you know, people talk about the hospital and you hear this a lot these days. Okay. Here's the fear. Being in the hospital exposes you to more and more to bacteria. Being in the hospital exposes you to more violent bacteria than you would think, because it's a hospital. Isn't this place antiseptized? Antiseptized. I get a new word. Antiseptized. Imagine if her name was Septicized. My uncle married a woman named Septicized. She's my aunt Septicized. Antiseptized. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Not at all. Let's look into this one. Being in the hospital does increase your risk of catching something, says Dr. Amesh Adalja. He's at the Infectious Diseases Society of America. But microorganisms are everywhere, according to Amesh, Dr. Amesh. We'll just call him Amesh. According to Amesh, microorganisms are everywhere. And the increased risk of visiting non-contagious patients is negligible. Amesh says this, and I quote, "The world teems with bacteria. There's really no way to avoid them." Excuse me. Something's coming up there. That's a wonderful, I'll do it like Amesh. "The world teems with bacteria. There's really no way to avoid them." I don't know what Amish sounds like, so I'm not really imitating him. I'm just using those words because they are, it's a great sentence. And it, and if I say it over and over again, it'll get, you'll get, you'll remember it. So if I say it one more time here, "The world teems with bacteria. There's really no way to avoid them." Them, because bacteria is plural. What's a singular? Bacterium? Can a singular also be plural? Shouldn't I know that? I am a professional after all. Patients, however, should be cautious. Patients in a hospital. There were an estimated, you ready for this? 722,000 healthcare associated infections in U.S. hospitals in 2011. That's the most in recent data. So it's gone down. Okay. That resulted in those 722,000 healthcare associated infections in hospitals resulted in an estimated 75,000 deaths. Man, that's a, isn't that a kick? Ain't that a kick in the pan, in the head? Remember that Dean Martin song? Maybe you don't. Maybe you look it up. Write it down in your Cotolo Chronicles notebook. Ain't that a kick in the head? Imagine going into a hospital for one thing. Okay. And what happens? You get another thing. This is irony, right? That is. And something, you catch something that, you catch something. Oh no! It's spawned music! Yes, you catch something and die from it?
How lucky can one guy be?
I don't know.
I kissed her and she kissed me.
It went wrong.
Like the fella once said,
ain't that a kick in the head? That's right. Imagine that. I love the...
The room was completely black.
I hugged her and she hugged back. Mumble, like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? Ain't that a hole in the boat and a kick in the head? Don't you like this? Yeah.
I go to sleep and she's grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. Sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. tell me quick, ain't about a kick in my head.
So many things are a kick in the head if you think about it, right? Oh man, it's just great. I have to keep it on now because it's really exemplary.
The one said, ain't about a kick in the head.
Yeah, oh man, yeah. It's true. Tell me, Eleanor Hildebrand, all this stuff, one thing to another,
like
irony.
Sailor said, quote, oh, ain't that a hole in the boat?
Ain't that a hole in the boat and a kick in the head, huh?
My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and I'm grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be She's telling me we'll be with.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better.
Listen, I couldn't feel any better or I'd be sick.
Tell me quick. Boy, ain't love a kick.
Ain't love a kick for the hour.
Tell me quick.
Oh, man.
Ain't love a kick.
It is.
In the head.
It is. Thank you. Inspired by Miss Eleanor Hildebrand's Ain't That a Kick in the Head? Oh, man. Every once in a while, you just got to go there. You never know what's going to happen. This, you know, this is the Dada show, actually. You know, the whole show is so Dada injected. It's streaming Dada. That's what we have here. I'm telling you. Okay. So that's more than irony. It's a kick in the head and a hole in a boat. Okay. It's a kick in the head and a hole in a boat. Remember that. Remember that. Maybe it's real Brooklyn coming out. Remember that. My name is Frank Atolo. Man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're 7 minutes from hitting that theme. And that means we've done it again. Here, you and I, together, on this revolutionary platform of broadcasting. And me, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, the Bard of Broadcasting here, the godfather of internet talk radio, I think of all internet radio. I'm taking that away from Malamud, who did the first broadcast, because he didn't stay there. It was just a test and only a test. Had this been an actual internet broadcast, it would have been done by Frank Cotolo. Thanks. You got to thank the Waskowitzes, not me. They're the ones who said, ow, they're the ones who said, remember the big busy, friends. You remember to use that phrase too. My friends, my comrades, my apostles. No, I don't want to say that. I'm nobody. I don't have apostles. I barely have friends. Do we have time? We do have time for one or two more. Let's see if I can get a really quick one here. Power lines? Hey, here, cell phones. Ready? Let's do this one because everybody has some kind of cell phone. The radiation from cell phones might cause cancer. Here you go. Eleanor Hildebrand tells you the truth. And this is a kick in the head. Ain't that the cancer in the head? No, it's not. Okay, because listen to this. Like microwaves, cell phones give off non-ionizing radiation. Go look it up later. That is the safe kind. Although it doesn't have the protective metal mesh that keeps microwaves from escaping, your phone gives off less than 1 watt of energy compared to 2,000 to 3,000 with a microwave. The odds of death, we still don't trust them. I wonder if she means we still don't trust the cell phones. The radiation from cell phones might cause cancer. Might. Think about it. Just do the math yourself and see how you feel about that. I'm looking at this again. The what? Your cell phone, iPhone, Android phone, whatever, gives up less than 1 watt of energy compared to 2,000 or 3,000 with a microwave. So what? So a microwave can give you cancer then? Because, well, it, faster. If you were comparing them, it still might be 25 years, but who knows? Another quick one. Ladies, driving in high heels. Okay. What's the fear? Loose shoes impede your ability to use the pedals. Anyone? Anyone think about this one? Excuse me, there are plenty of possible issues. Yeshua can get caught in the brake pedal or fall off and get stuck behind it. Your wife can catch you. What? Why did you write that? Flip-flops are just as bad as high heels. This is the important part. Forget about wives and husbands and girlfriends and boyfriends and boyfriends and boyfriends. This is the important part. Flip-flops can be as dangerous as driving in high heels. If you can, avoid wearing any kind of loose shoe while driving or go barefoot. It's not illegal. You just learned something here that, and there's one right there. That's the one we're going to end this part with. The fact that driving barefoot is not illegal says if you drive barefoot, and a lot of people do this during the summer, and barefoot could also mean socks, okay, but not with shoes. With shoes, so no one, a policeman cannot give you, is that, you're going to have to look that up. Put that in your Cotolo Chronicles notebook and look that up too. Is it? Because they always tell you, Dad, you can't drive barefoot, that's illegal. And the voice will sound something like that, right? The person will say, no, I can't do barefoot. That's just downright illegal. And I don't know if it's illegal, you got to look it up. Is it a state thing? Huh? Is it this state or that's? I don't know. So anyway, don't use flip flops. Don't drive with flip flops, and don't drive with high heels. And that goes for anybody who wears high heels. Okay. So even if you're a transgender and you want to drive, don't drive with high heels. If you want to wear high heels for any reason whatsoever, there are boy shoes. I mean, male shoes directly manufactured and designed and advertised for men per se that have higher heels. Although I don't know, maybe that was the disco days. They don't have them anymore. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. Just, you know, safety first is always a good thing. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. What a great show. I usually feel it. Sometimes, and I don't tell you because you've listened to the entire 2 hours. What am I going to do at the end of the show? Tell you, boy, that was a waste of your time. No, I don't do that. I just think about it, and I don't listen to these shows again, but every once in a while, I think we get what, what am I talking about? I can't even say it. A hoop shot. Wow. Sometimes the words get all muddled up. I know. It's also the saloon doors. And a hoop shot. What's a hoof shot? Nobody shoots into a hoof. And we know that if you shoot into the hoof, you will survive, right? Because a hoof shot, the hoof is your part of your foot, or is it just an animal? Can you say you have a hoof? I don't know. I don't get it. We'll be back as we try to be every time we do this show, next time. My name is Frank Cotolo, man's name we're doing the title of the show. We will be back because, why not? We'll try to do it. We will try to do it. We will try to do it. In the meantime, in between time, don't forget. I say don't forget. There's another one of those phrases. I don't want to use those phrases anymore. Let me tell you this. You know where to go for the blogs. You know to go to @TJSavino. Wish him the best recuperating. Tell him we want you back. We want you back. Get well soon. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. What a show this has been. Write to me. And don't forget, I said it again, I'm sorry. Send me your Dada news. Write it or do a 1 minute or less MP3. Send me your Dada news. Dada news, not data. Dada news. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. I gotta go do things now, and I'm sure you do too. So, thanks for listening and being a part of this great circus of wonder, Cotolo Chronicles. I'll see you next time, because right now, I have nothing more to say.